Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hello, citizens. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here, and we are starting a brand new series we're very, very excited about called Over It. And we have a question kind of as we start today. Don't raise your hand. Don't talk out loud. But what drives you crazy? What sets you off? Another way to think about it, what is your pet peeve? Don't act like you don't have any. Because we all, if you don't know what a pet peeve is, we're defining it this way. A pet peeve is something that a particular person finds especially annoying, especially irritating. I have pet peeves. I assume you do as well. Maybe your pet peeve is smacking. Doesn't everybody love smacking? Maybe your pet peeve is people having speakerphone conversations in public without headphones on. You guys like that? Maybe your pet peeve is like our buddy in the video. Maybe it's traffic. My number one pet peeve is entitlement. When people in public settings behave as if they are more important than everyone else. Don't you love that? Like, we see this when you're driving and there's construction coming and, you know, there's a little flashing sign that says merge ahead. And so you get ready to start merging, and most decent, hardworking Americans understand we're all going to choose to merge at the same time, and we're going to take turns because that's the way a society works. And so, you know, you start merging, and then you got the one yahoo who's like, not me, and they want to go all the way up to the very front and then cut in. And so what do? We go, oh, no, you're not, and we get right up. So the number one place for me that this entitlement just triggers something in me that I have to go find all the Jesus I've ever possessed is when I travel, specifically on an airplane and in an airport. I just think airports bring out the entitlement in us because, again, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's stressed out. Everybody wants to get to where they're going to go. Everybody, you know, wants to be there. So I get it. But for me, man, flying, it used to. It's not as bad anymore, but it just sets me off. It starts when they give the very clear instructions about how we're going to board the aircraft. I can give the speech. We're going to start boarding, with our first-class cabin and our first-class passengers. And please wait to be seated and get up when your zone is called. And so when they start pre-boarding, all the zone 6 people just stand up, and they go get right in front. Then, yeah, it's real fun. When you get on a plane, you know, space is at a premium now, and one of the things that kind of sets me off, maybe it does you too, is when someone doesn't put their backpack under the seat in front of them, as they're told to do, but they choose to put it in your overhead bin space. I'm getting some nods. Yeah, we don't like that very much. Dude, it's entitlement. Or when the plane lands, you know, the plane lands, and they say, please stay seated until the captain turns the seatbelt light off, and then, you know, if you're in row 30, the other 29 rows have to get off before you get off, unless you decide the second the light comes off, you're going to get your stuff and just run forward. Aren't those people your favorite? They just run forward. I have a very big problem with that, and I do not do this anymore because I love Jesus and because I love my wife. But there have been seasons in my life when people have tried to push in front of me with their carry-on luggage firmly in the back of my head, and they'll try to swing past as I get up. And normally, I mean, I'm a big dude. I just kind of put my leg out and don't let them go. But there has been times where they've snuck past me, like they get past. And again, I don't do this anymore. But I would yell pretty loudly, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were more important than the rest of us. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. What was I thinking? But we all have these things. We all have triggers. We all have things that set us off. And we get to the point, and we just lose it. And we all say the title of this series. We say, I am over it. I'm over people being so selfish. I am over bad drivers. I am over the smacking. I am over it. But it's a really funny phrase, over it. Because over it makes it sound like we're done with it. But none of us are done with it. Over it means I'm going to talk about this for a month. It doesn't mean we're over it. So be thinking about it. When we say we're over it, what are we actually over? Because we're definitely not finished with the topic. And we're really not even done with the activity. Let's go back to pet peeve for a second. Pet peeve, we've defined it as something that a particular person finds especially annoying. But even when we say we're over it, you haven't given up driving. You haven't given up eating. We haven't given up traveling. So what are we really over? I'm over it. We say, I'm just over it. But we're not over with the activity. So I want to change one word in this definition and see if it resonates a little better. Instead of something, let's be honest, a pet peeve is someone that a particular person finds especially annoying. You can laugh. It is. It's someone. Smacking doesn't bother you. It's the person smacking. It's the person that's doing the bad driving. It's the person that's being selfish. It's the person that really bothers us. It's the people that frustrate us. And here's what I've discovered as I've reflected on this phrase. When we say over it, you know what we really mean? Over them. We mean we're done with them. We're done with their behavior. We're done with the way that they are making us feel. We're just done. I can't handle it. I'm done. I'm over it. And when we say over it, you know what we're actually doing? We are signaling our decision to dismiss. And you know what we dismiss? Our actions towards them. When we say we are over it, that is our signal to ourselves and the world. You now have permission to treat these people how you yourself would not want to be treated and how you normally would never treat them. And you want to say, yes, but it's because they're smacking and they have smacked for so long and they smack and they smack and I've asked them to stop and I've asked them to stop and eventually I'm just over it. So I yell at them, right? Would you normally yell at someone for something like that? No, Trey, but I'm over it. I would normally tailgate somebody and glare at someone like I want to kill them, but they tried to merge three cars before I did. So I'm over it. Over it signals our decision to dismiss our behavior towards the other person. It's our way of saying, I can treat them however I want to treat them because they've done something I don't like. I'm over it. I've put up with it for long enough. I'm done. I'm over it. I'm over it so much that I'm going to yell at this person in the airplane, getting off of the airplane, even though I pastor a church about a mile from the airport that occasionally has a billboard with my picture on it. See, that's the danger of dismissing. That's the danger of living a life where we are constantly over it. You've experienced this. I've experienced this. We've all experienced the moments where we say, I'm done. I can't handle it. I just got to let it out. I just got to let them know how they're making me feel. And we just disregard everything we know about humanity and how to treat people. And we just unload. We've all felt that way. We've all done it. But I have a question. Have you ever been proud of what happens next? Have you ever been proud of what happens when you decide to dismiss your own actions towards someone else? No. That's why today we're starting a brand new 5-week series. Because it's into this tension, it's into this moment that our Heavenly Father speaks. Because what we convince ourselves is, if I just say I'm over it, if I just let them have it, it's going to be over and I'm going to be set free from it. And that never happens. We feel worse, not better. And what God says is, hey, 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 I have a better solution. And it begins with a promise. Here's a promise I make to you and to any person who wants to follow me when it comes to dealing with other people, when it comes to being set off, when it comes to trying to learn how to deal with other people in your life. Here's the promise I can make to all of us today. We can be set free from the people that set us off. We can be set free from the minor irritations, from the minor annoyances, all the way to the major dysfunctions. See, I know for some of us in the room, what we're over isn't minor. What we're over is years of addiction, and you just don't know what to do. What we're over is years of passive-aggressive behavior, years of dysfunction, years of unhealthiness, and you just want to say, nope, I'm out. I'm over it. I'm done. They can fend for themselves. I am over it. I don't want to be around them anymore. I don't want to talk to them. I can mistreat them. You don't know what they've done to me. I am out. And here's the problem with that. For those of us in the room that would call ourselves Christ followers, we know that we have a God that never dismisses us. We know that we have a God who never is over us. We know we have a God who never chooses to turn his back on us and say, I'm done. And we know that his son says that we are to love other people as he loves us. And we want to say, Jesus, who does that mean when you say other people? And he says, everyone. Even the people that set me off, especially the people that set you off. Now, I know for some of us in the room today, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here kind of checking things out. And what you just heard, you're like, I don't want to become a Christian now. Because it's kind of hard. Now, I understand that. But I'm really thrilled that you're here, and I hope you'll lean into it. I hope you'll lean into this series, because the series can really help you as well, because we can be set free from the people that set us off. God wants so much better for us in our lives than to constantly going through this cycle of other people bothering us. We get to the point where we lose it, and then we have guilt and shame and regret over how we behaved as well. And so what we want to do for the next few weeks is we want to dive into what God says. And we want to learn how we can be truly set free from the people that set us off, the minors and the majors. How can we be set off, not from our pet peeves, but from the people peeves in our life? And wouldn't you know it, Jesus, when he was on earth, constantly was talking about people peeves. He was constantly talking about people that set us off. Now, he never called them people peeves. He called them people with which you disagree, people with you struggle, people where there's issues, other people. But he was constantly talking to his followers about, hey, here's the path to better. Here's how you can interact with people in a different, better way, because I'm going to be with you. In fact, in one of Jesus' most famous sermons, a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about this issue. Now, if you've never even heard the word the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard some of the teachings within the Sermon on the Mount, because this is everyone's favorite sermon Jesus ever preached. Any person who likes Jesus at all, one of the reasons they like Jesus is because of what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount. This is where he teaches those amazing truths about taking care of other people and serving the poor and how we are blessed when we are poor in spirit, when we are humble. He talks about loving our neighbor as ourselves. He talks about loving our enemies. He talks about forgiving our enemies. He talks about turning the other cheek. It's where he talks about blessed are the peacemakers, all those things that everyone loves about Jesus. In the middle of that message, he addresses this issue. He says, hey, I understand in your life there are going to be people, there are going to be things that set you off. I want to teach you the key to being set free. And it begins not with them, but with you. And it begins not with blaming other people, but with taking another look at ourselves. Because as we do that, we begin to see the world differently. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we'll be, Matthew chapter 7. If not, we're going to be up here on the screen. But it's as if Jesus knows we're all going to have these problems, that we're all going to struggle. We're all going to say, how do I deal with these people? And it's into that tension he speaks loud and clear. And here's what he says. Starting in verse 1, he says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Now, this is one of the probably most misunderstood verses in the New Testament. Because what some people hear, they just say, do not judge. And they hear that to say that we're not supposed to think. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying, don't think. One of the jobs of a Christ follower is to think, is to understand what is right, what is wrong, what God wants for us, what he doesn't want for us, what is safe, what is dangerous. Those are all healthy things that Christians are called to do. He's not saying don't think. He's saying don't criticize. He's saying don't condemn. He's saying just because you know you're right and they're wrong on an issue doesn't give you permission to be ugly to them about it. It doesn't give you permission to condemn them. It doesn't give you permission to mistreat them. It doesn't give you permission to feel morally superior to them. It doesn't give you permission to say, well, I'm right and you're wrong, so I don't have to be kind to you. What Jesus is really saying, he's saying, hey, through me, when you follow me, when I begin to change you from the inside out, we have this amazing opportunity as Christians. It's something that God makes possible in our hearts. You can begin to understand the world, but not feel like you should condemn the world, not feel like you should look down on the world. What he's saying is, as Christians, we can be discerning without being dismissive. We can discern right and wrong without dismissing people for their behaviors. We can step back and objectively understand, well, that's not a good idea. That's a good idea. That's not healthy. That's not, without feeling a moral superiority that says, well, I'm better and you're worse, so now I have permission to mistreat you. Now I have permission to speak ugly to you. Now I have permission to talk down to you because I've identified that I'm right and you're wrong. This is a very natural thing we do as humans, and Jesus is just saying, hey, through me, you can have better. You can learn to be discerning without being dismissive. And he says it's really important that we learn to do that if we actually want to achieve better in our lives. So let's understand why. We go back to the text and he says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Why? He keeps going. He says, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, let me be clear again, because this is also misunderstood. He's not talking about his heavenly Father. He's not saying the standard you use to judge is the standard by which God is going to judge you. That's not what he's talking about, because God looks down on us, and if we are Christians, he looks at us and sees a perfect son and a perfect daughter. There is no judgment. He's not talking about us and God. He's talking about us and people. And he's saying, if you go around constantly judging people, constantly dismissing people, constantly saying you're better than them and acting morally superior, if you do that constantly, if you live your life over the people in your life and constantly annoyed, then I have some bad news for you. They probably feel the same way about you. If everyone in your life is annoying, everyone might be annoyed with you. Because what's the only common denominator between you and everyone else in your life? You. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, and it's just human nature. If you treat people this way, this is the way you are going to be treated. You know this, I know this, we've all experienced this. It's just natural. But Jesus says, hey, I have a better idea. Let's approach this differently, and to explain how we should approach it differently, he presents a word picture that's very powerful. Here's what he says. He says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a plank in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the plank in your own eye? Now, this is a very vivid word picture that we understand, even though you may not understand speck and plank. Speck refers to a piece of wood the size of a splinter. You've had a splinter, I've had a splinter, they get in your finger, you have to get tweezers, they're very, very tiny. A plank refers to a very large board that was used to frame a house or build the flooring or frame the roof, a very big piece of material. And what Jesus is basically pointing out is human nature. We tend to focus more on these small issues in other people's lives than we do on the big issues in our own lives. We want to focus on the things we can see in someone else because that makes us feel better, because we can say, at least I'm not doing that. And we sometimes use that to excuse our own behaviors. And I know some of you, you've been sitting there and you're thinking, Trey, I hear you, man, but But the thing I'm over, the family issue, the friend issue that I'm over, it's not a little issue. They have major problems. They have major struggles. We're talking about years of dysfunction. And I understand that, and Jesus understands that. Jesus is not talking about the actual size of the issue. He's talking about our control over the issue. He's talking about our awareness of the issue. And we will always be more aware and have more control over ourselves than other people. We will always be more aware of the flaws, of the imperfections in us, of the struggles in us, than we will ever be in other people. And he's just simply saying, hey, before you give yourself permission to double down and judge other people and mistreat other people because of these little teeny little specks you can see, what if instead you took a step back and said, hey, maybe there's something going on in me? And that's what Jesus says. He says, hey, before you do that, first, get rid of the plank in your own eye. Deal with the issues you have, and then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck. And your friends say, you know what he's saying? He said, instead of giving yourself permission to dismiss other people and feel morally superior to other people and to point out all the other people's flaws, what if you started with yourself? What if when you find yourself frustrated, when you find yourself set off, what if instead you started saying, what's going on? What's going on? Huh, I wonder what's happening in me right now. I wonder why this is a big deal. See, what Jesus is doing is he's trying to lay a fundamental foundational principle for us today that's going to set us up for everything we're going to do over the next 5 weeks. Because he knows that we're going to be frustrated. He knows we are going to be set off. He knows our natural tendency is to dismiss. He knows our natural tendency is to just be over it, to focus on the speck and to blame it and to attack it. And what he's trying to get us to understand is before we do that, when we find ourselves in that moment, maybe we can pause just long enough for the Holy Spirit to remind us of a foundational truth that can set us free. And it's this. If I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. Not other people, not other issues. What Jesus is saying is, no. The path to better begins with you. Because the reason you're set off, the reason you're frustrated, the reason you're wanting to lash out is because something is going on inside of you. And if you'll let me, I'll help with that. And once I help with that, we'll be way more positioned to help with the other issues in your life. Be honest. The things that set you off, they're tapping something in here. I'll go first. Do you know why the airports drive me so crazy? Do you know why entitlement bothers me so much? Because I am an insanely selfish person. And they are in my way. That's what it is. I want them to move because I got places to go. 100%. It's complete and total selfishness on my part. You know how I know for sure? Because my beautiful, amazing, lovely wife is with me on almost every trip I go on. We travel almost exclusively together. And she is not selfish at all. And do you know how much airports bother her? Zero. Same exact situation, same things happening. I'm losing my mind. She's just smiling at them. Oh, no, go ahead. I was getting my purse anyway. You go ahead. Do all y'all want to go? We're fine. Just go ahead and get off the plane. Go ahead and get up. Have a good day. I hope you make your flight. Doesn't bother her at all. Exact same behaviors. Different planks in our soul. Isn't that true for all of us? Isn't that what's really happening? These other people that we're just over, they're exposing planks in us. And we say, okay, then how do we deal with it? And Jesus says, I don't want to deal with it. I want to heal it. I want to fix it. I want to solve it. Remember what Jesus said? He said, get rid of the plank. Jesus says, I can help that in you. I can heal that. I can remove that from you. But it begins with all of us understanding the next time we want to say these words, I am over it, I'm done, I give up, I quit, I'm out. They no longer deserve my compassion. They no longer deserve my mercy. They no longer deserve my humanity. I just want to let them know how I feel. I'm done, man. I'm over it. I just can't even handle it anymore. When we feel over it, what if? What if at that moment we could allow the Holy Spirit to whisper, are you sure you're over it? Are you sure there's not something going on inside of you? Because I'd love to help. What if we could ask this question next time we feel over it? What inside of me is set off by them? What inside of me, Jesus? What's in me that is set off by that? See, when we invite him in, he can show us, well, you've got some anger that I would love to heal. You've got some bitterness I would love to heal. You've got some jealousy. You've got some pride. You've got some unforgiveness. Now, see, I don't want to just deal with that. I want to heal it. I want to help you. I want to take that away. I want to get rid of that, and I want to replace it with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He has to give me a lot of self-control. But he says, hey, if you can just get to this place where you could step back and say, okay, I'm about to lose it. Jesus is saying, I understand you're about to lose it. Just talk to me first. Just ask me why. Why am I about to lose it, Jesus? Why am I about to do this? Why am I about to do something I know I'm going to regret later, but it's going to feel so good right now? And that's when Jesus gets to step in and say, okay, there's something going on inside of you. If you let me, I can heal that. If you let me, I can fix that. And then, you're going to be so much better equipped and so much stronger and so much healthier, and you're going to be in such a better position to actually deal with the other people in your life, both the minor annoyances and the major dysfunctions. Because remember, I didn't say the entire path was you. I said the path to better begins with you. And it does. It begins when we invite Jesus in and say, all right, Jesus, what needs to be dealt with in me? How do I get rid of this plank? Because the promise is get rid of the plank in your own eye, and then you will be able to help your friend. And that's where we want to pick up next week. Once we've taken this step, then how do we deal, how do we handle the pet peeves in our life? How do we handle someone that a particular person finds especially annoying? How do we handle the minor annoyances in life? But it's beyond that. How do we handle the people that are especially draining? The people that just constantly need and need and need and never give back. How do we handle the people that are especially disruptive? They just want to barge their way into any situation and all situations. And how do we handle the people that are especially destructive? Because they're there. And you probably have them. And our Heavenly Father knows. And our Heavenly Father says, I have an answer for that. I want to help you. I want to partner with you. I want to be with you. I want to set you free from all the people that set you off. I want to set you free from figuring, from dealing with that and feeling like you have to just walk away and feeling over. I want to set you free from that so that you can love them the way I love you. We got 4 weeks to talk about all the next 5 weeks. But for today, before we can talk about them at all, before we can go anything into the future, we have to deal with us. We have to deal with the planks. We have to deal with the problems and issues we have. And it begins with embracing this truth. If I want to be set free, then the path to better begins with me. With me saying, Jesus, what is happening right now? What is setting me off about this? Why am I so angry? Why am I so frustrated? What is going on? Because that invitation allows him to heal us and to change us and to equip us to love the world around us. And an amazing thing happens when you begin asking this question. An amazing thing happens when you begin to understand that it begins with you. An amazing thing happens. The other people in your life, the other irritations, the other annoyances, they don't bother you as much. And the reason they don't bother you as much is because the planks in your own eye are being removed. And as the planks in your own eye are being removed, you know what happens? You get a clearer view of the other people. You don't just see the speck. You see the people behind the speck. You see their humanity. You see their brokenness. You see the person in traffic and you're like, you know what? I bet they're late to pick up their kid from school. And I bet their kids called them 3 times and the kid's crying and they're just trying to get to school. They're just trying to get, go on. You cut in front of all of us, buddy. You know what? I bet their connection is like 20 minutes long and they've got to get there because they've got a recital tonight for their daughter. They've missed the last 3. They promised they wouldn't miss this one and they're just trying to get to their daughter's recital. You know what? Go ahead. Everybody sit down. Let this person by. They are more important than us right now because they got a recital to get to. What would happen if we just simply allowed ourselves to have our hearts transformed to see people the way God does and to give them the same humanity we give ourselves? I bet we'd be a little kinder. I bet we'd be a little more patient. And according to Jesus, when we start giving that, the people in our lives will reciprocate. So we can start many revolutions right now just by choosing to embrace what Jesus said. Hey, if I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. It begins with me inviting Jesus in and say, hey, just tell me what's being triggered right now because I want you to help it. I want you to heal it. I want you to solve this problem. And he will. And it won't stop there. Next week, we're going to say, okay, so how do we then love other people? How do we love the dysfunctional people in our lives? How do we love the draining people? How do we love the destructive people? And the answer is the same way our Heavenly Father loves us. If you want to know how to do that, what that means, that I encourage you, come back next week. And stay locked in for the remainder of this series because our God has a lot of answers. But none are more important than today. My challenge, we're done, is this week. But both the minors and the majors, when you feel yourself being set off, when you feel yourself about to lose it, when you feel yourself about to give yourself permission to mistreat another person, permission to dismiss them, to disregard them, may God's Holy Spirit remind you in that moment, if I want to be set free, path to get to better begins with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. We are so thankful for your Son. We're so thankful for his patience and his kindness and his goodness and his love. And God, I just pray that as we receive it, we freely give it. God, I pray that this week when we find ourselves in situations, may your voice speak louder than our own. May you remind us that you have a path to better. That it starts with us. May we invite you in and ask you to point out what's happening in us. May you expose it so that you can heal it. And as you heal it, may you reveal your plan to use us to change the world around us. We love you. And it's in your Son's amazing holy name we pray.